from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to From Scratch. And you're hearing a strange voice introducing From Scratch. Rather than Martin, it's me. Because Martin has found a very interesting report. He knows a lot about it because he facilitated a discussion around it. It's a report, a business barometer report produced by the Open University. So Martin, and it's only just come out, hot off the press. Martin, what's interesting about it and why did you decide that we should be talking about that this morning?
Thanks, Nigel. I thought it would be interesting because the focus of the report is on skills. And this is an annual report from the OU and it's come out over the last 3 or 4 years. And this year it's very focused on the here and now, the pandemic, the impact of the pandemic on organisations and the impact on skills. So I thought it was just quite an interesting one to share. And I would definitely urge people to read it because it really does make for some quite interesting reading and it does pose a few questions. So all I wanted to do was just to raise a couple of questions because, you know, I've been involved in this a bit with the Open University and I've got some questions around skills. But firstly, let's go into some of the numbers. 63% of organisations have ceased filling vacant roles due to the pandemic. So that probably wouldn't come as too much of a surprise. Organisations, many of the ones that are in difficulty, are fighting for survival. However, 56% of organisations continue to experience skill shortages. So there are skill shortages, but over half of organisations aren't really doing anything about that right now. But interestingly, over the last year, the main approach to solving skills problems in organisations has been to buy in the right skills or bring in temporary staff. And the OU report suggests that's cost in the order of nearly £7 billion to do that. So what we have here is a scenario of skills gaps, a big spend on filling them temporarily. And now we have had lockdown. We've got organisations who are basically not looking at skills development.
It's panic partly, and it's also short-termism, isn't it? It's let's get through the next 3 weeks or the next 3 months. Let's not even think further than that. And there's a very interesting statistic further on in the report, which really caught my eye, Martin. And that is the number of organizations that are focused only on survival, getting through the immediate challenges, and are unable to think beyond that at the moment. So this is self-reporting. 59% of manufacturing and automotive, 63% of engineering and construction, 64% of accommodation and food services, 80% of real estate, 61% of professional services. These are huge numbers. Organizations focusing on surviving the immediate challenges only. Now, I think that's a kind of deficit, that there are ways in which you can focus on the immediate, deal with those traumatic problems, but have your eye on what is emerging and how you're going to get back once what is emerging emerges. That to me spells a very narrow view of creativity, innovation, problem solving in organizations. And it's just bolt down the shutters, close your eyes, grip your hands together tightly and hope for the best. And that is not very strategic. And even in tough times, I think we've got to have one eye open and keep an eye. That one eye should be focusing on what is going on out there, spotting the indicators of change and being ready for them. These organizations are going to get thumped if the economy opens up because they won't be prepared. And they will have got rid of key staff, will have gone. They won't have embedded new key staff in the organization. And there's a limit to what you can fill in temporarily by, you know, beg, borrow, mend. At some point, you've got to start building for the future. And probably, and maybe this is naive when life is very tough, now is a good time to build for the future, not spending lots of money, but getting the getting your people in the right frame of mind, you know, to get them a growth mindset. This is fixed mindset territory, isn't it? Limiting, unable to see beyond tomorrow, pessimistic, basically. Will we survive? Probably not. And if the more you think we won't survive, you won't. I think that's also true. What are you saying?
My line of inquiry around this is skills. How are L&D teams supporting the skills agenda right now? I'm unsure that it's happening. I don't know. These are questions I'd love to get answers to. I tried to Google this before we have this conversation, and I just couldn't find much. It's almost as if no one's talking about reskilling or upskilling. I know that the UK government is looking to focus on post-education training in order to try and develop the right skills that the economy will need. But that's going to take time to come through. Apprenticeships are a massive opportunity to do some of this. And people are still taking on apprentices, but many have been made redundant actually through this process. So there's a mixed picture there. But all of this comes for me, I'm sort of trying to think, well, why aren't we hearing much about what organisations are doing about skills, in particular learning and development? Is it a priority for learning and development right now? Because when I look at all the research, there are things like learning culture. They're very focused on broad concepts about developing what learning and performance looks like in an organisation. And yet there seems to be this massive skills challenge. And I don't see people talking about it. Or am I missing something?
No, I don't think you are missing something. But again, I think the picture is more complex, that if you're going to invest in the future, which is what developing skills is all about, it's not about quick fixes in the present. It's about quick fixes in the present is getting down to the job agency and saying, I need a couple of people who can do this for a week. And the problem is that you need to understand the culture of the organization to be ready and prepared to take those medium-term investment decisions. So on the one hand, you could say, how frivolous to start banging on about a learning culture, which is what I'm doing on my doctoral program this morning, banging on about a learning culture when we're all in crisis. Well, the answer is that if you can get that culture working, then there is no question about investing in the future and building and preparing and understanding what the options are going forward and kind of treating it optimistically as an opportunity. For example, when I was in a Toyota plant, and around the Toyota car plant, there are strings hanging from the ceiling, and every one of those strings, you pull it and it stops the line. Now, when I went to Ford's in the 70s, you know, the idea of stopping the line was, if anyone stopped the line, they could be fired on the spot. Right, you stop the line. So if there was a problem, you just kind of built the problem in, and it just continued to get worse and worse until there was a catastrophe, and then they had to stop the line, and then everyone blamed everyone else. Whereas in Toyota, any employee, if what they were producing wasn't optimum, could stop the line. And I said to the guy, you know, does this not drive you crazy? He said the line stopped 12 times a day on average. So sometimes for a few seconds, sometimes for a while. And the manager beamed a big smile and he said, when we stop the line, that's our opportunity to learn and get better. He said, when we stop the line and start it again, we are producing better cars. And I thought that is an unbelievably interesting mindset view. This, and COVID is like someone stopped the line big time. And what do? You do the Ford way, which is run around screaming at people, blaming them, looking at, you know, how do we get out of this? How do we get the production level up today? Or do you do the Toyota way, which is take a medium to long-term view and saying, yeah, today production is interrupted, but next month we're going to produce even more better cars than we produced this month. So that there is that. So the bigger mindset issue is an important issue, I think. Yeah. And the problem is that when you just go narrowly down, like the government saying, we've got a skills problem, we're going to offer people free courses if they haven't got A-levels. The problem is, if those people to whom they're targeted, who've left school at 16, have very strong self-identity about what they can do and what they can't do, why are they going to walk into an FE college and expose themselves to being humiliated and failing with completely the wrong idea of what it might involve? They're not going to do it. So you've got to prepare people. You've got to get them in the right frame of mind to make that leap. And organizations have got to get in the right frame of mind to make that leap. Hence that some sort of focus, not a total focus, but some focus on that big picture. That's how I would, that's what I would say.
Mm.
And it's some self-interest in all of that. But I also think there's some evidence to back up what I'm saying.
I know we've probably gone way over our attempted self-imposed 5 or 6 minute rule here. But I would finally say, I wouldn't want to be accused of just pulling out certain numbers just to support a line of inquiry. I think this report does show that around 3 in 10 organisations are choosing to increase training budgets for all staff in the months ahead. And some are looking to get more apprentices in. It's not as if organisations aren't looking at this. I think the thing for me is, and I think you've kind of summed it up quite well there, is that this idea that the focus is elsewhere right now. And actually the skills challenge is mounting and massive for this economy as it is for other economies. And we are all going to have to turn our attention to that, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's a pretty good point, place to end. Yeah, I think there are no easy solutions, no glib responses, neither the glib response of, you know, we have to shut down and stop everything. Neither the glib response is this is a great opportunity to throw money at everything. But somewhere in the middle there is the way through, I think. There is a way through, and organisations have got to find that. Martin, great. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for taking the lead today.
That was great. Thanks, Nigel. From scratch.